Thank you for joining us on Connecting the Diocese, a product of the Diocese of La Crosse, Wisconsin. My name is Jack Socia. It is the weekend after Thanksgiving. We'll be talking with Bishop Callahan about a variety of topics. So take a break from shopping and sit back and relax. We'll be right back. Well, if you happen to be listening to this show on Saturday, November 25th, you should know that today is the birthday of Solanus Casey. Solanus Casey, born on his family's farm near Prescott, Wisconsin in 1870. One of 16 children, Casey worked as a farmer, a sawmill hand, a prison guard, a streetcar conductor, before finding a vocation. His superiors believed him to be of limited intellectual powers, but laypeople saw him as a wonder worker whose prayers brought around numerous inexplicable healings and unexpected conversions. So how do I know this? I know this because I have a wonderful little ring-bound Catholic calendar, one for each day of the year, which is why I'm talking to you today about the idea of you're going out shopping, probably. Consider going to a religious store and finding something inspirational as a gift, along with all the other stuff that you get. A good Catholic bookstore can provide you with a nice book, again, a calendar of things that happened in the Catholic Church. Maybe just a plaque that says something that you think will bring special meaning to someone else's life. I have this kind of chromed large word that simply says grace. And I frequently have had it hanging in my studio on a string. And every once in a while, the wind would make it kind of flip around. It reminds me of a saying that the wind of grace is always blowing. These gifts don't have to be expensive, and they are sincerely from the heart. Maybe something for a person who has kind of strayed away from going to church, and maybe just something they can look at once in a while and read a passage or two. And if you're not in convenient driving distance to a Catholic bookstore, there are plenty of them online as well. So you can always find something. There is plenty of time to order something meaningful. So while we're all out there looking for the perfect gift, the electronic gadget, the sparkly object, don't forget to think about getting something that's just plain good for the soul. Gifts for every age and need to celebrate the season right there at your local Catholic store.
Catholic news and interviews. This is Connecting the Diocese.
Well, I want to welcome back to the show the Bishop of the Diocese of La Crosse, Bishop William P. Callahan. Bishop, good to see you.
Good to see you too, Jack. I realize that the way we have this confection over here, you're only seeing me. I'm not seeing you.
Yeah, I turned. We're using this wonderful gadget called Squadcast, which is not something terribly expensive. I always remind people about that. This is not costing $1 million, thank goodness. But the nice thing is that we can get improved quality if we turn off our faces. I've had a lot of people tell me they're quality would be improved if I turned off my face. But anyway,
this is true. This is true for both of us.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. You'll be hearing this the day after Black Friday. Thanksgiving is behind us. Already the insanity would be beginning. Even now, when I'm planning ahead, weeks ahead of time, planning on various, you know, what shows we're going to do and things like that, I'm hearing them complain, the merchants are worried it won't be a good Christmas because people are not buying enough stuff. And then, of course, they get them all worked up. And then later on, as Christmas hits and everybody finally gives in, they go, you all saved Christmas.
Yes.
Well, this is a pretty short Advent compared to many others. It begins on December 3rd. And so, you know, if you do your math, December 3rd, December 25th, that's pretty short. That's probably one of the shortest Advents that we've got, I suppose.
From the commercial side of it, from yes. The spiritual side of it, we can never have enough Advent.
Exactly. Well, that's kind of thinking about that, is you're going to see these two colliding forces. One is the one to say, get out there and shop quick. There's not a lot of time. The other one is going to be, you have less time to get ready and get into Advent than you have had in other years. This is not a long, leisurely progression. Can you explain, Bishop, too, for people, what is Advent? What is the purpose of Advent? What is that all about? Where did it come from?
Well, Advent is the entire reason that we have to celebrate Jesus every single day of our lives. The whole idea of being aware. Now, what if you only had 2.5 weeks before Jesus came again in his glory? What would you do? Would you be worried about how many gifts or packages you'd have or whatever? You'd be wondering what is the one thing that I need to do to make my life meaningful, to make my life have some joy, to whatever it may be. The whole idea of Advent is, from the very word itself, getting ready for the coming, you know, the coming of the Savior. And we are not worried about the coming of the Savior quite the same way our ancestors were, because they were waiting for the Messiah. We have the Messiah, and we're waiting for him to come again. And the way things are going right now, I'll tell you, I wish he were to come yesterday. We can't get enough of Jesus right now. There's so much going on in our lives. Our lives are so troubled. Our world is so troubled that we need the Messiah, and we need him now. So you got Advent. Get ready, not just for Christmas, but get ready for Christ.
This idea of anticipation. Yeah, I was thinking of that popular song from, you know, 50 years ago that now is a standard. Do you hear what I hear? You know, this is kind of what we're trying to say in this show. Do you hear what we hear? And it's not the hurry up and get the tiny little walkie-talkie splashy doll. No. This is
Really one of those?
Yeah, I think they still do, I'm afraid. That's the loud squawking and hawking going on. What we're listening to is a quiet little voice that says, stop, take a breath, think about this. Think about what's coming up. Think about that the whole world pauses. And what is this all about? What we have a thing called an Advent wreath. Where did that come from now?
Now, the Advent wreath, of course, is a clock. And it tells us just exactly how much time we have. Advent is all about time, how we use time, how we think about time, how we baptize time. In one sense, an Advent wreath kind of baptizes time for us because we allow ourselves to get into greenery, we evergreens, the whole idea of life plants, life-giving plants, things that matter, things that are around. And then into those plants, we also add candles. We add four candles to symbolize the 4 weeks of Advent. And as we make our way through, we light those candles, three purple, one pink. The three purple are reminders of the fact that this is the time for us to think about our lives, to think about what we're doing, to think about how we're responding to the grace that God gives us in our lives. The one pink is to let us know that we only have one more week left before the time is up and the time to celebrate the presence of Jesus in our lives, the coming of the Messiah. And responding to that grace in our lives is something, a great challenge for us.
Now, the church does special things on each Sunday of Advent. I think there's even different decorations. How do they prep for all that? What do they do?
Every year, basically, we do the same things because we need to remind ourselves. The great gifts of our symbols is that we use the symbols wisely. Symbols remind us of the fact that we need to be able to know that we use one symbol 1 week, we use another symbol another week. We remind ourselves of the fact that we are preparing. So it's wise for us to use the symbols that we have. So we use a symbol. The first symbol, of course, is the first candle, which is the candle of hope. And hope reminds us every single day of Advent that we are hopeful, that we are going to receive Christ into our hearts, that we are going to receive Christ into the world, that we are going to strive and do our best each and every day of Advent and each and every day of our lives. So those symbols continue to remind us.
The thing should be, especially this particular year, with all the disturbances going on in the world and war, is that you said this should be not only Advent, but December. This December should be a December of hope. Find something to be hopeful about each week, each day, each morning when you get up in the morning. It's out there. We can't be totally buried by news media.
And we remind ourselves, of course, that hope comes, especially in November, when we remind ourselves of the souls in purgatory, those noble souls who are there waiting in expectation. That's that great idea of Advent, for the resurrection of their bodies, going to heaven, being received by Jesus into the life of grace that we call heaven. And so it's a major event, and is all part of Advent, all part of the hope of the expectation of seeing Jesus alive in our time.
It's got to be different for parents, or difficult, I should say, for parents when they're to explain all these things in a childlike way to kids. I couldn't believe it. I was looking at some stuff online, and they had Advent calendars. Now, you can explain, if you can, to us, what is an Advent calendar?
Well, again, an Advent calendar is a very clever and good use of a clock. An Advent calendar is a way in which we use a regular calendar, and behind each of the dates of the calendar, there is a little picture or a little verse from sacred scripture, some way, somehow, that we use to remind us that our time is being moved. We're moving up, we're moving closer to an expectation that is being fulfilled, and that is seeing Jesus face to face when he comes again in his glory. Advent is not just reminding us of how many days there are until December 25th. Advent is a reminder of how many days there are until Jesus comes again in his glory. And that's what we're waiting for. That's what we're eager for. That's what we're expecting.
Again, to illustrate how difficult it is for some people to deal with what you're talking about. Now, here's this Advent calendar, and behind each door, there's a scripture or something inspirational, right?
Right.
Over the years, the commercial interests have gotten into it, and they have replaced little scriptures or things of interest, or, you know, to give you a little bit of something to think about, with candy.
Now, yes.
This year, I was looking at Advent calendars online, and I'm not making this up. There is now an Advent calendar for dogs. And behind each day is a dog treat. Now, we have gone from having a calendar that has something inspirational for your soul, for your reclamation, to get you thinking more. We've gone from that to putting dog treats.
It's amazing, isn't it?
As we drift away, and I'm not trying to be a hard guy on this, but we have an essential truth here, and then somebody tries to figure out a way to make it a buck out of it.
Yep.
And then it begins getting distorted. Oh, well, let's take the scripture stuff. I'll put candy in there. The kids will love it. And they do love it. But that somehow has become somewhat the norm in some families now. And now, like I say, now it's, let's get an Advent calendar for Fido. You know,
why not?
Well, yeah, we're up against it. We're up against it. We have just had a period of time where people spent millions and millions of dollars on Halloween decorations. And now we suddenly are thrust into the area where they're saying, you better start shopping. Come on now. And they keep pushing aside some of the things that really don't cost much of anything. You know, a few lights, you can buy little LED lights and put them up. They're not expensive, and you can enjoy them. The kids can make their own decorations. Sit around at a kitchen table with some cardboard and some paint, or, you know, even old aluminum foil. We had a tree in our house for years. This is my wife and I, that the cats would destroy. And we ended up cutting a star out of cardboard and wrapping it in aluminum foil and putting that on the top. And over the years, it's gotten little holes in it from their claws.
Oh, yeah.
But you can make all this stuff. You can make little angels out of clothespins, and you can do all kinds of neat stuff that get the kids thinking, not about whether they're going to get the new, the new electronic whatever, but more about what the season is all about.
And that's exactly right, Jack. That's exactly right. Trying to think about how much closer we are today than we were yesterday to the coming of Christ at the end of time, or much, much closer to Christmas, to our understanding of how we are going to celebrate that day, when we are going to try to realize how much closer we are to Jesus. That is our major emphasis as human beings, trying to get closer to Jesus himself, because Jesus has come among us, and the idea of his coming among us is so that we could go to him much more easily.
I keep thinking that there probably is in your past many, many Christmases and many, many Advents, that was there a time when you were in the middle of Advent, and obviously as a priest, you're so busy too. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But was there a particular year or some time you can think of when the sense of Advent, the sense of waiting was really palpable to you?
Well, the younger I was, there was a time when thinking about Christmas was a big deal. And my sister, Bobby, was always responsible for the makeup of everything that was joyful and pretty and decorative in our house. And she was the one who really, really taught me about how to live Christmas in a very festive kind of way. So as we moved closer and closer to the actual day of Christmas, I saw more things go up, and I knew her hand was involved. Of course, our mother was very much involved in a lot of those things, but Bobby was always the one who, she kind of got it. She knew what those decorations meant and how they were being used in our house. And so new Christmas trees and all those sorts of things every year. There were ways in which we kind of grew more and more in expectation and anticipation for seeing Christmas once again. And so I look and I see, you know, in the neighborhoods when there's more decorations up outside, start to realize, boy, I'm starting to feel that Christmas spirit. I'm trying to get into it a little bit more, trying to help others to see it through my eyes, trying to help people to understand the celebration of Christ in our lives much, much more than just the pictures and the lights and the glitter and the everything else, but to understand that even every single day we get a little bit closer to understanding Jesus. Jesus is present to us in different kinds of ways.
Yeah, it seems like if you really pay attention and can kind of dampen down all of the roar of the commercial stuff, you'll see little acts of kindness increasing. You'll see
it's
people
true.
Opening doors for other people or helping them with this or doing that. You'll see donations for the various charities pick up. And you'll see just, like I say, just acts of kindness that they're probably going on other times of the year too, but for some reason they seem more concentrated the week or two before Christmas. Suddenly people start saying, you know, I got to act more decent.
Uh-huh.
And they do. And the trick is, of course, and I'm including myself in the same crowd, so I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. Why aren't you acting that way the other 51 weeks out of the year?
Well, you said something that was very profound there, Jack. That was that the sense of the season becomes a little bit more concentrated. You know, it's like, you know, we see the sense of Jesus coming and we become a little bit more aware of it. It's not just a matter of having Christmas toys or treats or candies or different kinds of foods or different sorts of things like that. It's awareness of Jesus himself being close to us. And that sense of concentrated Jesus, if you will, coming to us at Christmas time, that is really something that does make us feel a little bit better and increases our awareness of the fact that Jesus is coming. And that his birthday is something that we honor in a beautiful kind of way.
Yeah, it is. Again, I'm not going to tell the same old stories I've told before, at least not right now. But the world changes for these few weeks.
Yeah, it does.
And frankly, there's a lot of resistance to it. You know, a lot of people just don't want to bother, or they think you're really being stupid, or I'm one of those folks who's walked away. But I'm sorry. It's, if you just quiet down a little bit, it's palpable. It's palpable. One of the people I studied years ago talked about people's brains, saying your brain, you're just so scattered with so much stuff. It's kind of like you're like, I got a little monkey in your head, and then sometimes it's like it's a monkey stung by a bee. You're just bouncing all around with every distraction you can think of. And Advent comes along, and if you can take the time, and you have the time, turn off the TV or something for a few minutes, just think about it. Just think about where the anticipation coming up. There's something out there that it's like forming in front of you.
Well, and you know, Jack, that's one of the great things about Advent, in anticipation of Christmas. But we don't know how to anticipate anymore. We don't know how to look at things and try to figure out how long this is going to take for us to really get in touch with the reality of Christmas. We're looking for the things we want. We want them now. The television is telling us that we got to have this, and you know, better hurry up because there's only so much left till they're not going to have them anymore. There's not going to be a store that's going to sell any of the stuff. This is crazy because we don't anticipate. We don't consider. We don't consider the challenge of that sense of connection, that sense of concentration that we need to help us to be aware of what we're doing and why we're doing it. And it never really ceases to amaze me how it doesn't sink into our heads about how we're supposed to be thinking about the fact that there is a sense of concentration. There is a sense of thoughtfulness. There is a sense of expectation, anticipation. All of those great elements of how we as human beings start to look at the things that go on in our lives. And so many times we forget how important it is for us to think about and prepare for something. And, so we get nervous when it's close to our birthdays. We get nervous when Aunt Jane is coming to visit and Uncle Sydney is coming to be with us or whatever it may be. Grandma and Grandpa, when they're coming to visit, there is an excitement and an enthusiasm. But sometimes it just doesn't sink into our heads that these are important elements of our lives. And Christmas, of course, is one of the important things because an Advent helps us to prepare for them because we need to have time to prepare. We need to have time to be aware of the fact that Christmas is Jesus' birthday. And while we're trying to get things for our celebration of Jesus' birthday, we fail to realize how much we need to bring to participate with Jesus for his birthday. So it's a lot of things that are going on, but one thing is only necessary, and that is to understand that we are with him and he is with us. Beautiful celebration.
And you can learn so much by simply going to Mass each Sunday of Advent, the stories, the lessons, among other things. I mean, it seems like every time God in some form reaches out to man, what's the first thing some angel says to them? Don't be afraid.
Right.
Don't be afraid.
And another way of saying that, just to capitalize on what you've just said about don't be afraid, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about what's going on, to be worried, to be thinking about, overthinking things that are going to happen, things that are going to come your way. Don't be anxious, the angel says. Be aware of what you need to know. But don't be anxious, don't be worried, don't be afraid. Don't be trying to pull all these things together that you have no control over. You have no control over. A child, of course, is going to go looking for all sorts of ways in which to respond to, oh boy, this is going to be wonderful. This is going to be great. This is the newest toy. This is the whatever. As we grow older, we need to understand that these are the things, our wanting things so badly, these are the things that produce anxiety in our lives. And it is necessary for us to understand and to know just exactly what we need and how much we want it.
It's kind of amusing. Not that 4 hours of surgery is amusing, but when my wife recently had some serious surgery on her knee, she'd broken it really badly. Obviously, she's concerned before she's going in. You know, I mean, there's always this little thing in the back of your head: will I come out the other end? You know, will there be a problem? What's going to happen? And it's to the point now where when they've got the little IV drip they're giving you, they actually drop in a little bit of an anti-anxiety drug.
Yes.
And which really kind of makes you feel, okay, it's going to be okay. And, you know, to draw a terrible parallel to this, what we're talking about is a kind of a cosmic anti-anxiety drug. Also, the idea of trusting that God is not going to, you know, give you a rock when you're asking for a piece of bread. The symbolism and the story, and you can tell this much better than I can, the whole concept of the fiat of Mary says so much in so few words. And can you give us an outline on what that's all about? They come to her and they say, this is what's going to happen to you.
Yes. And Mary, of course, says, yes, let it be done to me according to your word. Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, the great Benedictine founder, says to us, Saint Bernard tells us how wonderful to be aware of what we have before us in terms of thinking about those blessings. What would have happened if Mary had not said yes? What would have happened? Where would we be? We'd be in such a pickle. So when he tells the story in one of the first readings for the season of Advent, he tells how when the angel Gabriel came to Mother Mary and talked to her and asked her about the fact that she was to be the mother of the Savior, the mother of Jesus, the mother of the Son of God. When he asked her, when Gabriel asked her, will you do this? The whole world shut down. This is what St. Bernard says about this whole business. The whole world listened and waited for Mary to say, yes, I will do this. That's the great gift that Mary offers to us. Mary says, yes. And that whole thing opens up to me an awareness of what we are to do and how we are to respond when we're thinking about the Blessed Mother. And Advent is a real time to think about the Blessed Mother. What would you do if an angel came to you and asked you to do something extraordinary, asked you to do something that you thought you could never do, and asked you to do something that no one would ever guess that you would be the one to be chosen to make a response like this? And all of a sudden, Mary thinks about it. And all of a sudden, she realizes that ever since her mother was telling her stories about the Bible, the stories about God's action among us, she was thinking about this. And this day came, and the angel appeared to her and said, will you do this? She said, of course I'll do this. I've been waiting for this all my life. And there it is. She says yes. And when she says yes, the story tells us that the angels started to sing. The birdies started to sing. The hummingbirds started to hum. All the world became alive because God's mother said, yes, I am going to bring God into this world in a special way, just the same way as all of us come into the world, born of our mothers. I am going to do so, and I am going to bring Jesus into the world, God's Son. Everybody becomes very, very happy.
And in my conversations over the years with a variety of people, even the past week or two, we had a fellow on locally who is with Catholic Charities, and he's kind of the, I won't use a crass word like PR guy or development, but he is kind of a public face, you know, where he goes and explains what they do. And he was on the show doing exactly that. He had been a corrections officer, you know, in a prison. He'd done many different things, but he just felt compelled to take on this particular work because it was something that was good. And it was kind of like he got that bug, and he didn't say, well, you know, what's in it for me? You know, he was kind of like, he said, God was tugging on me, and I said, you know, I can do a good job with this, and it can do so much good for so many people. And even Roberto, the head of Catholic Charities, gave up a pretty good executive career in Washington, D.C. to do the same kind of thing that we're talking about right now, the calling of God. Look at the seminarians. Look at these people who are even pre-seminary. There's God calling people. It's tapping them on the shoulder, you know, saying, you, and they finally sit down and they go, this is really what I want to do.
Yes, yes.
It's a wonderful
yes.
thing. It's a wonderful thing. You know, I never in my wildest dreams, in my, you know, practically 40 years of broadcasting, thought that I would be doing talk on a religious radio station, a religious radio network, encouraging people to think a lot more about God, although frankly, I think it's probably one of the most useful things you can do. And it sure beats playing the top 40 hits. No one has ever joined the priesthood because I played a record. But seriously, God is out there trying to reach out to people left and right every single day. And during Advent, boy, if you just calm down and let that voice talk to you. And if you're a young man considering priesthood or a woman considering religious life, get hold of your department at your diocese and talk to them.
Yes.
Because I'll tell you, it all began, you know, I mean, at one point, the gentleman I'm talking to right now, Bishop Callahan, somewhere God said to him, you got to think about this, and he thought about it. And I don't know how long it took you to discern that, and maybe it was automatic, maybe not so automatic. I have no idea. I never asked you that question. But it's out there. It's out there right now. And just talk to the vocations department. And if you're not interested in becoming a priest, there's other things you can do within the church.
Sure.
Tons
of
things. I'm really hoping we get more people interested in Catholic media.
You know, Jack, just to advance that idea, I am so incredibly amazed at the number of boys and girls in our confirmation classes. When I go around the diocese, and believe you me, this is one of the most important things I do as your bishop. Go around from place to place, celebrating confirmations, doing different sorts of things. And I always look at the kids and I say, who among you has already made a decision about becoming a priest? Who among you has already made a decision about becoming a nun, a sister in religious life? It's amazing, but I always hear responses that are affirmative, responses that are positive, things that people are thinking about. This is Advent. This is God coming alive in our midst. These are the various ways in which we are allowed to participate in the life of God's grace. It's not just a matter of trying to think about, you know, what kind of holy thing we're going to do. But it's a matter of responding to God's grace and how God speaks to us. How God speaks to us. He speaks to us directly. God didn't waste his time becoming a human being. God used his time so that he could help us to understand how we are to respond to his invitations. And there are all kinds of invitations in our lives, various kinds of ways, not just to become a priest or a nun or a brother in a religious community. It is to choose to serve God. The greatest thing that we have around us is to serve God, to think about the ways in which we can respond to a God who speaks our name, who speaks to us and invites us. And every single day, Advent is a particularly important time for that to happen because we get moved deeply. We talk about that concentration of energy, God's word in our lives, God concentrating his speech in our lives, speaking to us, calling us out of the world into a great gift of immortality, a great gift of heavenly virtue, a great gift of happiness in this world, and a continuation of that happiness in eternity in heaven. There's lots and lots of things that are going on, and all of these things are anticipated and expected through the season of Advent, as we move ourselves closer and closer to the coming of Jesus into humanity. The coming of Jesus fills us with joy and expectation and enthusiasm, all of these great things that we can choose. And we sure need it now. I mean, there's so many things going on in the world, and we're afraid. I don't think that there are too many people in this world who are not afraid. Who are going into things and, you know, trying to figure out how is God going to speak in my life? How is God going to help me to provide peace in the world? How is God going to help me to take away some of the terrifying things that are going on in people's lives? Jesus is calling me to be an instrument of peace. Jesus is calling me to be one who is going to help others. And my cooperation with that, my listening to that, my anticipation of that, my expectation of that is all part of God's grace in my life.
One of my favorite phrases I picked up somewhere along the line in my college studies was that the wind of grace is always blowing. And raise your sail. Now, somebody might say, I don't know, Jack, I don't know if I have a sail. But, okay. Wet your finger and hold it up so you can feel the breeze. The wind of grace is all around you. And seriously, it really is. I've become extremely aware of this over the years. It's there. The trick is that you got to kind of like filter out all of the stuff that's in the way. And I think that a lot of people, especially those who are serving the church and working in all these different capacities, volunteering and all these people who work all night at the shelters and help out with cleaning everything up in the churches and getting ready for things selflessly, they feel that grace. And it's a way of passing along what you're feeling to other people by saying, look, there's really a lot of great stuff here. Let me just do something for you. It's a wonderful thing. We are, you know, basically in the midst of all this. Like I say, we're just cranking up Advent right now. In a matter of a few days, it's going to start. But the object of the whole program this time is to stop and think. Because at the same time we are getting ready for Advent, the commercials are blasting full bore. Boy, they are out there everywhere. You can't even go onto YouTube and watch something without there being a two-minute, heavily produced commercial for some big box store. You know, with Hollywood effects and movie stars in it, all aimed at simply getting you to forget about what else you're doing and go to the store. You know.
Wow. Yes, very true. Very true indeed.
And at the same time, we have donations go up. You know, we have all kinds of appeals that people fill out. I am always checking out now. I'm on the Federal Trade Commission's email list. They send me the list of that week's scams. And it's very difficult this time of year when you've got wars going on and floods and panics and everything you could think of that you want to help out. Be extremely careful who you send your money to. You cannot go wrong giving money to any organization that the Catholic Church legitimately runs. We've seen that over the years. So that's one of the safest places you can do it. And even as they were saying with Catholic Charities, they say you can target it for certain things, but most people just write them a check or whatever saying, give it to where the most need is. And that's perfect. If you write a check to the Diocese of La Crosse and say, Bishop, give it to where the most need is. Guarantee it will get there, and 99.99% of it will get there, not 20%, and the rest goes into a slush fund. No. Right. This is the Catholic Church here. we don't do that.
That's very true, and it's important for us to consider that because you know there are some people who think everybody's got an angle, everybody's got, some way of doing this that is going to help us to do that. And something's going to happen that's going to help me do something for me or help me do something for some kind of special project that I may have. It's very important for us to think about that. It's not just a matter of feeling. It is a matter of thoughtfulness. We need to think about what we are doing in our lives, to think about how we are spending our money, how we are living our lives, how we are doing things for others, how we are aware of what is going on in the world. And we need to think about it, not just feel about it, not just, say, oh, well, it's not my problem. It is our problem. I am my brother's keeper. I am somebody who is called upon to make a difference in the world. So, yes, you do get that opportunity. And it's a nice time to think about it in special preparation for the birth of Jesus into our midst.
Yeah, and the church does have an angle. It's called, we're doing what Jesus told us to do.
Aha, yeah, yes.
That's the angle.
It is.
Yeah, plain and simple. We talked in past shows about this, how Jesus spoke so simply and in words anybody can understand as to what is a great way to behave. Now, we never said doing it was easy.
that's for sure.
But, he laid it out. I mean, you can buy all the self-help books you want, and there's every 3 weeks a new self-help book comes out analyzing a different way you can do this, But you look at what he said. Look at the Sermon on the Mount alone. But the gospel, the things he was talking to the disciples about, he's not talking pie-in-the-sky, theoretical, whatever. He's just saying, this is how you should behave. And I see, I have it on authority.
Yep, very much so.
And if
the
more
highest people, authority imaginable.
Yeah. And if we, in big and little ways during Advent and after, put that into action every single day, in some small way to start with, you would be amazed at how the society would suddenly change from being totally transactional, what's in it for me, to being totally complementary, how we can complement each other, and how you can help me, I can help you, we can talk, we may have differences, we can get together. The world can be changed. And boy, I'll tell you, as we move into the Advent season and up to Christmas season, which goes on beyond the 25th of December, we'll talk about that some other time.
Oh, yes.
We wouldn't be so scared.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be so scared. Now, Bishop, what are your plans liturgically or whatever? How much participation in Lent do you traditionally do during the season? Let me preface this first. This is a really busy time for priests.
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
Busy. They may not have time to chat with you about something else. They may not be able to discuss hunting season with you. There's things like that. The other thing is, as someone once said, one of the nicest things you can say to a priest is, Father, anything I can help you with? Because they're busy.
Be careful, because they'll answer and tell you what you can help us with.
Yeah.
There's always something.
Yeah, there's always something to help with the church. And the deacons are also busy. The religious are busy. The volunteers are busy. Everybody tries to make Christmas time perfect and lovely and delightful.
Doesn't that go back to what we were talking about at the very beginning of the program? The whole idea of concentration, the concentration of our efforts, the specialization with which we prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus, the birth of Jesus into our midst. So important, so important.
My Polish aunts, the only time they made a Polish delicacy, which I will probably mispronounce, called krus, it was a dough that was probably 99% egg. I don't know how they made it. And it was delicately deep fried to the point where it literally melted in your mouth, and it had powdered sugar on it.
Oh, gosh.
And my aunts only made this once a year, and that was at Christmas, because it was a lot of work, more work than expense, quite frankly. It was difficult to make. But I'm sure every family has some aunt or somebody who only makes blank at Christmas time.
It's just
part of what goes on.
And as a non-Pole, growing up in a Polish neighborhood, I heard about Krutz and got the expanded title of Kruszczyki. Mm. And Kruszczyki is this delectable fried dough that is covered with powdered sugar. And I used to get into a lot of trouble in the seminary because we would blow the powdered sugar on each other because we were wearing black habits. And so it was a lot of fun to blow the powdered sugar onto another friar.
Yeah. Now, how many people are there at the North American College right now? What's the status over there?
Oh, I think we had about 170. I'm not sure what it is now, but it was a pretty good number.
And they will try to get home for Christmas in many cases.
We certainly want to see our seminarians. We like to see our seminarians come home. Mm-hmm. And we'd like to, for those bishops who choose to send their seminarians home, it's a good thing because you like to be home for Christmas. I like to see your mom and dad, your family, and come home and eat the family foods and the special desserts and the things like that. Oh boy, that's good eating right there.
Yeah, I missed one Christmas in the Army, and when I got out in June, I promptly moved to California to go to college at UCSB area, and our family was not rich, and you know I had no plans on going back home that December for Christmas. I was in Santa Barbara, you know, in palm trees and stuff, and you know it did feel a little strange. And then my parents called me up shortly before Christmas, and they said, go to the airport. There's a ticket for you to come back home.
Oh, my. Wow.
And thinking back, you know, my dad was a bus driver. They didn't have a lot of money. And on the date they said it was a couple of days from now. You know,
what a gift.
I went to the airport, and the airport at that time in Santa Barbara had palm trees all around it, and I had a light jacket on, you know. And I got on that plane toward going east, and they had those little earphone things you can stick in your ears. And one of the channels was Christmas music. And I'm watching out the window as all of a sudden the green starts turning to white and the Christmas carols are playing, you know. And I get off at the airport in Newark, New Jersey, and it's freezing cold.
Oh, yeah.
And there are my parents with an old top coat that had belonged to my Uncle Jim saying, here, you're going to want to wear this. But
Smart people.
But, you know, that was the most incredible gift. I hadn't realized how homesick I was, you know, because I'd been away before, but not in the same circumstance. And it was just amazing. I was sitting in that plane going, this is the nicest thing that you could possibly do. So it's great. We can probably, maybe after Christmas, using the same system I'm using to talk to you, we should be able to experimentally hook up to them. We did it in Peru.
Yes, most definitely.
And we can try to do a thing. We can do a little talk with them, have them all around a laptop with a microphone, and we can chat with them a little bit. We can do this stuff now. And again, I remind people, we are not blowing tons of money on this. You know, the monthly cost of this system is probably that of a deluxe pizza.
Which is not a bad idea for Christmas.
Yeah, we're good stewards of your money. We're not buying exotic, expensive supercomputers in order to do this kind of thing. That's just the way we are. The technology makes it so much easier and so much much more fun to do. Although nothing beats being with you. I would much rather be doing that. Circumstances right now don't permit for me to get out of the house for the next couple of months, basically. But we'll be keeping in touch. You know, I don't know, are there any other things in the last, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 minutes that you have on your mind that you want to mention? Any particular ideas that you think we should be talking about or just things you have on your mind right now?
I think one of the most important things is to pray for our brothers and sisters around the world. There are so many members. We're going to be seeing a lot of the Holy Land. We're going to be seeing a lot of those places where Jesus was born. We're going to be seeing those places where Blessed Mother had her head covered and gone out to pray with the other women and do different sorts of things. There are many, many people who need our prayer. So, my dear brothers and sisters, if there's some way especially to pray for our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land, the Jews who are there, the other members of various kinds of religious groups. They all need our help, and they all need our prayers. And we need to remind ourselves that we are part of one family, and that is God's family. And He came for us. So one of the things that I'd ask you to do is simply to pray, to remember. To remember also our friends in the military, all the various branches of the service. Pray for them. Be kind in remembering them in your prayers and in your kindnesses at Christmas. The cards, the letters, all of those things are very, very important. So God love you, everybody. Just keep on trying your best and keep on remembering our brothers and sisters who are in special need.
And we have a lot of special need to pray for. It's a good way to end things up. Bishop William P. Callahan is the Bishop of the Diocese of La Crosse. We'll be hearing from you again in a variety of forums between now and Christmas and afterwards. We have a lot of stuff on our plate these next several weeks, and I think folks are going to enjoy it. And just wonderful talking to you to get us prepared for what's going
Likewise.
To be coming up. Yeah, we will talk to you again.
Thank you, Jack. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And please keep us in your prayers as well, because as we've talked earlier, there's a lot of stuff that keeps us going at this time. A lot of things that we don't normally do, but that we do at Christmas because we're concentrating our efforts to love Jesus more and more and to celebrate His life among us.
Can you leave us with a prayer and a blessing?
By all means. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death, amen. May God bless us all. May God's blessing continue to inspire us and teach us to do good and avoid evil. Amen. God be with you, everybody, and may God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You're listening to Connecting the Diocese.
You know, this time of year, I spend a lot of time, online looking at all kinds of stuff. Pictures and recipes and news articles and stories of faith and all kinds of things. And sometimes, if you're like me, you wish that you could just save the whole article intact in one place so that you could print it out later on or just look at it on your computer. Frequently, when you try to save something, it saves the whole web page, which gets to be a real mess. And if you try to print the thing, it's frequently a problem also. But here's a little trick that you may not know. With any browser that I know of, and this is especially for Windows, although I strongly suspect the same thing is going on for Macintosh, if you go up to the upper corner of the browser and you click Print, one of the selections is to print to PDF. Now, what is a PDF? PDF is a file called a portable document format. Those of you who work in offices are probably very, very familiar with that format. It simply means that it will save the entire article, including pictures or whatever, in a single file, intact, with nothing else, so that you could click on it on your screen and look at it. You'll bring it up with a PDF reader, or you could even print it out that way as well. The idea is that, let's just say you are looking for holiday recipes, and you find this really, really cool recipe, but you don't really want to write the whole thing down. Well, you can save it as a PDF, give it a name that you remember, and then you can go back to it later on. Or let's just say that you're kid is in the winning Aquinas team, and there's a big article about them, and you want to save it. Same thing. Print to PDF. Or maybe you see some illustration that you want to save to a PDF and then later print out and maybe cut into a circle and make into an ornament. As long as you're not selling it, you're not going to be breaking any laws. So next time you're online, just give it a try, see if it works for you. It's called Print to PDF. Okay, what was that, you ask, Jack? Were you recording something in an elevator? What was going on there? No, just a way of catching your attention. Something interesting I discovered many years ago, 1971, 72, there was a British version of A Christmas Carol, musical version with Albert Finney. It was called Scrooge, and it was based on the musical, theatrical version that was on stage. One of the songs that's in it is where the ghost of Christmas Present, the jolly fellow, of course, is talking to Scrooge about liking life. And Scrooge says, "I hate life because life hates me." And the ghost says, "Scrooge, you're even a bigger fool than I thought you were." And he begins to sing this song called "I Like Life." And I have always liked this song because there are lyrics in it that I thought were extremely affirmative and also good suggestions as well. Well, I was going to look up on YouTube, where else, of course, you go. You got to go to YouTube to see whether there was a cover version of it. And I discovered several things. Number one, Netflix did a cartoon version of A Christmas Carol, Scrooge, not to be confused with the Disney version. And they actually used modernized version of the music from the original back in the 70s. So you can kind of hear a jazzed up version of the song. Apparently enough people like this song, and it does kind of stick in your ear after a while, that there is actually a karaoke version. And you can go to YouTube and you can type in "I Like Life Karaoke," and you'll hear that music I just played along with the lyrics. But there's some good affirmations in it. "I like life. Life likes me. Life and I fairly fully agree. Till I die, life and I will both try to be better somehow." And then, of course, the one that totally freaks out Scrooge. "And if life were a woman, she would be my wife. Why? Because I like life." You think about that. Marriage is, of course, a sacrament. And basically living life as if it were a sacrament is a good idea. But I still love the lines, "Life likes me, life and I fairly fully agree. Until I die, life and I will both try to be better somehow." Isn't that a wonderful thing to consider and to think about this Advent and any other time? How can you try to be better somehow? And maybe that will make life better somehow. So maybe go over to YouTube, type in Scrooge 1972 or Scrooge musical, and you could listen to some of the excerpts online. And if you like the song as much as I do, and apparently a whole bunch of people did, then you can kind of learn the lyrics as well. Go to the karaoke version, and maybe you'll have that stuck in your ear like I am this time of year, and you kind of walk around vaguely singing to yourself that you like life. You might get some strange looks. Anyway, my name is Jack Socia. Just a reminder that this show and the previous shows and all the shows that are coming up for this speedy time of Advent will be posted online at diolc.org/connecting. And frequently, by the time it's up there, it also gets onto various podcasting venues as well. iTunes, I believe Amazon, you can go there as well and type in Connecting the Diocese. I will warn you that during the holiday time, sometimes getting it up onto the server that you use for the diocese may take an extra day or two, because as you know, people have extra days off. They try to get things done. So don't be too surprised if it's a tiny bit late getting up there. But in the meantime, I'm going to leave you with a little more of the song. Not the original singing version. You'll just have to learn the words and you can sing along with it, okay? "I like life. Life likes me. Life and I fairly fully agree. Till I die, life and I, we'll both try to be better somehow." I'll see you next week.